Blog Talk Radio. morning yesterday. I was up before the dawn. And I really have enjoyed my stay. But I must be moving on. Like a king without a castle. Like a queen without a throne. I'm a journey on another. And I must be moving on. I believe in what you say is the undisputed truth. But I have to have things my own way to keep me in my youth. Like a ship without an anchor, like a slave without a chain, just a part of those people leading that came out through my veins. And I will go on shining, shining like brand new.
Thank you. right, there we go. Some Super Tramp. Oh, I hope you enjoyed that. That's a good old tune. Ain't heard in a long, long time, but hey, I thought I'd bring that entertainment to your ears and listen to Super Tramp. But anyway, how's it going tonight? This is Crazy Nation Radio. It's your crazy host, Ron Reck, and it's nut time for the crazies to fucking come out. Of course, we're talking about the State of the Union. The head nut talked. I don't know if you caught it. For those of you who have, we'll go through it maybe a little later. Of course, I'm going to do some shit that he completely lied about. I'm going to play a clip that is going on in this world right now today in this country. But he said everything's perfect. Everything's fucking absolutely fantastic. It can't be no better. Trump was bad. Orange man bad. No. But I'm seeing this go down. I'm watching this happen. This clip I'm going to play, this is actually really going on. It really is. I mean, it is taking a very high speed rate, what is going to be happening soon. And this is about store closures. So, I mean, restaurant closures and shit like that. It's just everything. It's everything. It doesn't matter what the fuck it is. Restaurants are really fucking struggling right now. I mean, struggling. Cost of this shit, fucking, you know, but he blames everything on Trump. My God. Wow. He wants to fix the border wall, but he caused it. Oh, my God. Isn't it crazy? Wow. We're in bizarro fucking land, folks. That's where we're fucking at. We're nowhere, not in reality no more. We're in the third fucking dimension. Rod Sterling, we love you, bro. You're fucking hit it right on the head. Orwell, all you great people. Fuck, you all called it. We should have listened. But fuck, did we? No. Anyway, I will flip this clip and we'll get into the shit. All right, here we go. Let's rock on.
Most restaurant chains you grew up to see are currently fighting for survival. According to a research study by Ohio State University, 80% of restaurants close before their fifth anniversary. While many have tried and failed to reinvent themselves, others are like how you remember them. But here are the shocking details. Due to low-margin propositions, inflation, and economic instability, most of your beloved restaurants are on the brink of closure. Here is a running list of restaurants you might miss in 2024. 15. Bicyclette and Mansky, Pico Robertson. Now, Mansky and its sister restaurant, Bicyclette, are closing their doors already. But why are these culinary hotspots shutting down? Mansky, known for its upscale dining experience and Michelin-starred cuisine, opened its doors in 2022, offering a lavish $225 10-course tasting menu. Who can forget Bicyclette, the charming French restaurant that took over Soto in 2021? However, Walter and Margarita Mansky, the masterminds behind these eateries, now only have one restaurant in L.A., the incredible Republique. So what's next for this dynamic culinary duo? Besides that, let's not forget about their other ventures. Petty Cash Taqueria served delicious Mexican cuisine for a decade before closing in October 2023. And who remembers the bustling Sorry Sorry store in Grand Central Market? It sadly bid adieu after seven incredible years in December 2023. So, what do you think about Mansky's latest move? 14. Atrium, Los Feliz. Atrium, the trendy restaurant known for its international flavors and chic atmosphere, suddenly closed its doors on December 23rd, 2023. But what led to this unexpected shutdown? Atrium, launched in 2018 by Bo Lachlan and Jay Milliken, was a go-to spot for versatile dishes in a neighborhood longing for quality dining options. Despite hints of a reopening in the new year, staff members were blindsided with the news just days before Christmas. Can you believe it? But don't fret, Atrium's sister lounge, Pinkies, is still going strong. So what's next for Atrium? Will Atrium make a comeback, or is it gone for good? 13. Cafe Roma, Beverly Hills. Cafe Roma, a beloved Italian eatery and coffee spot, is shutting its doors after an incredible 45-year run. For nearly half a century, Cafe Roma has been a staple in the Golden Triangle, serving up mouth-watering Italian cuisine and aromatic coffee to locals and visitors alike. While Cafe Roma bids farewell, its sister restaurant, Cafe Amici, is still strong. So where can you still indulge in your favorite dishes like eggplant parmigiana and lasagna with beef ragu? However, the eater got the scoop from a Cafe Roma rep who revealed that skyrocketing rent prices.
This is the equivalent of 70 eggs sitting right on your shelf for times when you need them most. That could be tomorrow or 25.
Cutting rent prices forced the closure despite the restaurant's rich history in the neighborhood. 12 ETA Highland Park. Owned by Matteo Glassman, ETA was known for its vibrant jazz scene and delicious cocktails, drawing in locals and music lovers alike. However, this jazz bar and cocktail lounge, a sister restaurant to the Greyhound Sports Bar, closed on December the 30th, 2023, after opening in 2016. Glassman revealed that his partners, James and Ryan, had moved away, making it challenging to keep the business running smoothly. Plus, with Glassman's recent addition to the family, balancing work and personal life became a challenge. 11. Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. Brothers Matt and Ivan Perkins set their sights on striking gold in Alaska during the 1950s. However, they didn't find gold. But they didn't let that setback stop them. Instead, they turned their luck around by opening the first Perkins Pancake House in Cincinnati in 1958. With a top-secret buttermilk recipe, they captured the hearts and stomachs of diners far and wide. As the chain grew, so did the menu. Ever heard of Perkins Cake and Steak? Yeah, they went through a rather awkward naming phase, but who hasn't? In 2019, Perkins faced financial challenges and filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but Huddle House swooped in and acquired Perkins in September 2019 for a whopping $51.5 million. 10. Howard Johnson's. Just when you thought Howard Johnson's had breathed its last breath, reports surfaced claiming that the final location had shuttered its doors. According to eagle-eyed Yelp reviewers, the Howard Johnson's in Lake George, New York is still kicking. However, taking a trip down memory lane, Howard Johnson's was the go-to spot for fried clams and 28 flavors of ice cream, all nestled under its iconic orange roof and weather vane. Back in its heyday during the 1960s and 70s, you could find over 1,000 Howard Johnson roadside locations scattered across America. Meanwhile, Howard Deering Johnson laid the foundation for this former dynasty in 1925 when he opened a humble pharmacy. Little did he know that his focus on the soda fountain and his invention of a rich buttery ice cream would captivate the hearts and taste buds of Americans nationwide. 9. Houlihan's. The co-founders of Houlihan's stumbled upon a former Kansas City haberdashery named Tom Houlihan's Menswear back in 1972. They never knew this would become the birthplace of their iconic restaurant chain. Dubbed Houlihan's Old Place by the architect behind its remodel, the name stuck, but diners across the country were flocking to this cozy spot for happy hour and scratch-made delights. But headlines have left fans dismayed as their beloved happy hour haunt suddenly shut its doors. What went wrong? Despite offering scratch-made dishes, competitive drink prices, and even catering to millennials with a veggie goods section added in 2019, Houlihan's finds itself drowning in a staggering $50 million debt. CEO Mike Archer remained tight-lipped when the Arlington, Texas location closed in 2018, simply stating that many factors were considered in the decision. 8. Tim Hortons. In 1964, when Tim Hortons first opened its doors in Ontario, they were offering just two tantalizing donut choices, apple fritter or duchy. However, today, Tim Hortons is facing a rough patch, especially in the United States. With a 17% decline in sales over the last 4 years, it's clear that the chain's popularity south of the border is waning. But don't count them out just yet. Despite struggles abroad, Tim Hortons remains a staple for Canadians, with around 80% visiting the chain at least once a month, it's no wonder that nearly half of Tim Horton's U.S. locations are strategically placed near the Canadian border. But not everyone is singing praises. A customer expressed disappointment, saying Tim Hortons should have stayed in Canada. So, what's the deal with Tim Hortons mixed reviews? Are the coffee and Timbits as good as they used to be, or has quality taken a nosedive? Let us know in the comments. 7. Ground Round. In 1969, Ground Round emerged as an offshoot of Howard Johnson's, aiming to be the ultimate destination for casual dining and sports enthusiasts. But did you know that Ground Roots website conveniently omits any mention of its Hojo's roots? At its peak, Ground Round boasted over 100 locations. However, the chain hit a rough patch and filed for bankruptcy in 2004, resulting in nearly half of its restaurants abruptly closing their doors. Despite efforts from optimistic franchisees to revive the brand, Ground Round continues to struggle, with few locations still standing today. It's a bittersweet reminder of its once thriving presence. In all, Ground Round chefs are known for their wild creativity, crafting dishes like Reuben egg rolls and bacon chicken mac and cheese. And in an era where portion sizes are shrinking, Ground Round proudly boasts generous servings. 6. Baja Fresh Mexican Grill. In 1990, Baja Fresh burst onto the scene, tantalizing taste buds with its fresh and flavorful Mexican fare. By 2002, it had grown to nearly 300 locations across 21 states. But then, a twist of fate occurred. When Baja Fresh was acquired by Wendy's in 2002, the chain's decline began. Most of its outlets started closing in 2004. Since then, it's been a rocky road for this once thriving brand. Adding to the mystery, Baja Fresh has a habit of skipping town without warning. Just ask the folks in Arlington, Virginia, where a recent closure left residents puzzled and local reporters scratching their heads. Despite its struggles, Baja Fresh's website promotes a commitment to fresh, wholesome ingredients. They claim there's no microwave, freezer, or can opener in sight at any location. But does the reality match the rhetoric? Some customers lamented that Baja Fresh isn't looking so fresh anymore. 5. Hometown Buffet. Whether you call it Hometown Buffet, Old Country Buffet, Country Buffet, or Ryan's Buffet, the story remains the same. These beloved buffet brands are disappearing at an alarming rate. Once boasting hundreds of locations across the country, the number has dwindled to a mere 65. That's right, from hundreds to just 65, signaling the rapid decline in the buffet scene. But what's behind this downfall? Well, the chain filed for its third bankruptcy in 2016 after closing dozens of units. And unfortunately, it's not just the closure of restaurants causing a stir. Food Management Partners, the parent company, has faced backlash for its treatment of employees during these closures. Take, for instance, the case of a general manager in Medford, Oregon, who received a 7 a.m. text informing her of the closure, and it was her responsibility to break the news to her staff. According to a customer, if salt is your favorite flavor, you're in luck at this restaurant, but hold on to your taste buds because their review takes a sharp turn from there. People described the restaurant as a travesty, where all the food tastes incredibly generic. They even went as far to say that the food is pre-produced by the same company, shipped in and then reheated in the microwave. The visuals may be deceiving, as the place looks nice at first glance, but the taste is a different story. 4. Pinkberry. From Charlize Theron to Oprah Winfrey, Pinkberry quickly became the go-to spot for celebrities and trendsetters. But let's be honest, it wasn't just about the yogurt, it was about the experience. With its success in West Hollywood, Pinkberry eventually spread its reach to 21 countries. However, by 2015, the number of U.S. locations dwindled to just 139, and despite high hopes for a Las Vegas expansion, the chain never quite took off in Sin City. Even after Pinkberry launched a special promotion to coincide with the third season of NBC's hit series The Good Place, where frozen yogurt plays a prominent role, many believe that it could receive and reclaim its former glory. But with how things are moving for them, Pinkbury is on the verge of collapse. 3. Checkers and Rallies. These two drive-in chains have been serving up burgers and shakes since the mid-80s, attracting a devoted following, especially among low-income consumers. But here's where things get interesting. Despite their cult status, more than a dozen units closed their doors in the spring of 2019. Well, this is due to slow sales, rising rents, skyrocketing labor costs, heavy debt, disputes with franchisees, and electronic data breaches, which all played a part in their downfall. And if that wasn't enough, neither brand could escape the shadow of health code violations. Several units were shut down temporarily or even permanently for infractions that left customers, shall we say, queasy. 2. Red Robin Gourmet Burgers and Brews. With declining sales and rising labor costs, Red Robin is feeling the heat, quietly closing stores across the map. In 2019 alone, 10 more locations shut their doors and all 5 restaurants in Alberta, Canada, followed suit by year's end. It was a tough time for the burger giant, but wait, there's still plenty to love about Red Robin. Don't miss your chance to sink your teeth into one of their iconic burgers before it's too late. After all, their signature sandwich snagged the title of Zagat winner 4 years in a row. Now that's something to sink your teeth into. And let's not forget about those bottomless fries, a Red Robin classic. But did you know they also offer bottomless salads and veggies? It's a paradise for veggie lovers and fry fanatics alike. Despite the challenges, Red Robin remains an industry leader in green initiatives, making strides to reduce its environmental footprint. It's a commendable effort in today's eco-conscious world. And number 1, Tad's Steaks. In its prime, Tad's was a force to be reckoned with, boasting 28 locations across major cities like Philadelphia, Chicago, New York City, and more. This cafeteria-style eatery, known for its no-frills approach to meat and potatoes fare, has kept prices low since 1957, but let's be real. The faux Tiffany lamps and the retro red wallpaper have seen better days. As the neon lights dim across the country, the West Coast location will stand as the final bastion of Tad's legacy. It's the end of an era, folks. Founder Donald Townsend once described the sizzle and spectacle of Tad's signature flaming broiler as a steak show, and it's clear that his vision has left a lasting impression on diners for generations. So, what are your thoughts on these chain restaurants? Have you had the chance to indulge in one of their famous burgers? Share your stories and opinions in the comments below. And
all right, there you go. Didn't mention the ones that are actually, others are fucking going down the tubes. Shoney's. Shoney's took a shit about 10 years ago. You don't see those around anymore. But Shoney's used to be the place we'd hit. Band members would hit Shoney's all the fucking time. So, you know, Shoney's was the shit. But anyway, I dig their bacon. I dig their fucking breakfast buffet. I dig it all. But they, you know, man. You know, there's one in Branson, but it ain't Shoney's. And wow. Is it expensive to walk through the doors of this mother? It ain't worth even walking through the door. Anyway, I'm getting on topic. Yeah, the fucking State of the Union. All right, call people on the phone lines, bring them in with me, and just, you know, wow, man. What do I say? You know, Biden tonight was something else.
I want some drugs. I want the drugs that Biden was on. Yeah, you can tell by how he was up there that he had some really good fucking drugs on board.
Yeah,
you know, looked like Hunter may have helped his dad out again.
Might be.
Yeah, hooked him up.
Keep it in the family. You might be right, Boyd. He was jacked up like a motherfucker, wasn't he? You know, he wasn't moping.
Yes, he was.
Usually just moping around, you know. He was jacked the fuck up. I'm going to fix it. Well, he said, I'm going to fix it. Well, I just sit back in my chair and laugh. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. What are you talking about, motherfucker? You caused this problem. You know, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, all kinds of other shitty contradicted bullshit, you know? Oh, my God. Makes me do drugs. Yeah, it was something.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it live. I watched a repeat of it, but, you know, I don't give a fuck. I don't care because anything he says. And the response of the audience and the people that's in there, it was kind of wild, too.
Yeah.
One guy escorted out of there, you know, telling some shit. I couldn't make out what he was saying. Well, you know, somebody apparently don't like him, you know. This time he didn't know have the overall audience either. That he didn't have. So, you know, fuck. All right. Now I'm tuned in. Yeah, you're right. I'd like to have some, whatever he had. If I could feel that fucking good, you fucking know it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he missed a skip or not. I don't know. There must be some of that good meth that ain't got no fentanyl in it.
Yeah, but must be. Or some good coke. Something.
I don't know. Something definitely hasn't fucking amped out. I got a little piece of this State of the Union. Let me play this real quick and we'll get into it. So let's see what
the rest of the American people, but his own party, Democrats of his own party.
I think the age question is very alarming to a lot of Americans in the sense that you watched the president tonight. He struggled in parts of that speech and he's reading. And he made a joke about the age of his predecessor and himself and put it in the context of, as you mentioned, once being the youngest and now being the oldest.
All right, Brian, we got to cut you off here. I'm sorry, Brian, we got to cut you off. We do have Senator Katie Britt there of Alabama giving the Republican response. Let's take this now.
Of serving the people of the great state of Alabama and the United States Senate. However, that's not the job that matters most. I am a proud wife and mom of two school-aged kids. My daughter Bennett and my son Ridgeway are why I ran for the Senate. I'm worried about their future and the future of children in every corner of our nation. And that's why I invited you into our home tonight. Like so many families across America, my husband Wesley and I just watched President Biden's State of the Union address from our living room. And what we saw was the performance of a permanent politician who has actually been in office for longer than I've been alive. One thing was quite clear though, President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch. Under his administration, families are worse off, our communities are less safe, and our country is less secure. I just wish he understood what real families are facing around kitchen tables just like this one. You know, this is where our family has tough conversations. It's where we make hard decisions. It's where we share the good, the bad, and the ugly of our days. It's where we laugh together. And it's where we hold each other's hands and pray for God's guidance. And many nights,
okay,
to be honest,
well, I'm not into this shit.
It's where...
I'm going to... Whatever her fucking issue is, I don't know what... Okay, she's a senator or whatever, kids, family, children, wife, the asses, education, I'll cut taxes.
She was given the rebuttal to his speech.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't want to hear about that shit, you know. It was too much soupy to me. I mean, that's my opinion. But anyway, I mean, the whole speech was fucked up. I mean, really. I mean, he contradicted a lot of things. You know, I didn't. You know, like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing through thoroughly. But what I did catch of it, you know, like I said, wow. You know, the fixing wall stopped me. That's where I got my. Oh my God, Joe, what are you fucking saying? You know. You caused this shit. shit was fine before you fucking took over, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, and he's blaming Trump for it. That just, you know, it, oh, man. How, you got to know you did it. Why is the border wide open? Because I did it. Right? That's what happened.
Yeah. I mean,
plain and simple, man. It's like, you don't have to explain yourself. It's crazy, you know? There again, that's the way it's been. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it, man? Nothing. No, hold this boat. We'll make the change by voting. Well, that doesn't seem to have worked either, you know. And when he won the election, in the numbers he won the election by, I was like, God damn, do I live in a country that fucking stupid? Is the American people that dumb? I mean, no offense, but, you know, wow. What are you thinking? Shit's working out fine. And you're going to go fuck it up by voting this guy in? And I mean fuck it up. That's what has happened. This country is fucked in the ass. I mean, some of us can afford to sit back and ride it out, but it just ain't, you know, it's not good, though. You know, it's just not good. Because most people can't afford it. Eventually, everybody won't be able to afford it. That's the way it's going to be. Shit goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Probably get some all like shrinkflation, like you talked about in the speech. But I don't know, man. I see my children have arrived. You know, my child, it's okay. You're all right. But what could he say, man? This guy, if you listen to the speech clearly and seeing what he has said, it's just fucking nuts. And I'm going to play a little bit of it, but I'm not going to stick into it for too fucking long, you know? So anyway, let's listen to this real quick for a second. Let's see how it goes. He's up there with Camel Toe right now. He's walking up. He's up to the microphone. Here we go.
Tony, what's up? Hey, you motherfucker. Hey, good to see you here, man. Hey, right on.
Oh, my God. That's that one lady. The Indian woman says she's Indian, and she's not.
She's a Jew.
Yes, you are going to be tortured. Do be it said. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Good evening. If I were smart, I'd go home now.
No shit.
Mr. Speaker, Madam Vice President, members of Congress, my fellow Americans, in January 1941, Franklin Roosevelt came to this chamber to speak to the nation, and he said, I address you at a moment unprecedented in the history of the Union. Hitler was on the march. War was raging in Europe. President Roosevelt's purpose was to wake up Congress and alert the American people that this was no ordinary time. Freedom and democracy were under assault in the world. Tonight, I come to this same chamber to address the nation. Now, it's we who face an unprecedented moment in the history of the Union. And yes, my purpose tonight is to wake up the Congress and alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas at the very same time.
But you gotta understand, listen here, guys. You gotta understand, I got a deal going on in Iran and Iraq. And, you know, Saudi Arabia, I got this deal, so I need this money. So I need you to approve that Ukraine package deal, too. I need that money right now. So if you just could throw that down to me, so I can make this deal happen for me. And you'll get a cut, but, you know, yeah. That's what he should be saying right now. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt it.
Overseas, Putin of Russia is on the march, invading Ukraine, and sowing chaos throughout Europe and beyond. If anybody in this room thinks Putin will stop at Ukraine, I assure you he will not. But Ukraine can stop Putin. Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons that needs to defend itself. That is all. That is all Ukraine is asking. They're not asking for American soldiers. In fact, there are no American soldiers at war in Ukraine, and I'm determined to keep it that way. But now, assistance to Ukraine is being blocked by those who want to walk away from our world leadership. It wasn't long ago when a Republican president named Ronald Reagan thundered, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Now, my predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, "Do whatever the hell you want." That's a quote. A former president actually said that, bowing down to a Russian leader. I think it's outrageous, it's dangerous, and it's unacceptable. America is a founding member of NATO, the military alliance of democratic nations created after World War II to prevent war and keep the peace. And today, we've made NATO stronger than ever. Welcome Finland to the alliance last year. And just this morning, Sweden officially joined, and their minister is here tonight. We're going to stand up. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And they know how to fight. Mr. Prime Minister, welcome to NATO, the strongest military alliance the world has ever seen. I say this to Congress. We have to stand up to Putin. Send me a bipartisan national security bill. History is literally watching. History is watching. The United States walks away, it will put Ukraine at risk. Europe is at risk. The free world will be at risk, emboldening others to do what they wish to do us harm. My message to President Putin, who I've known for a long time, is simple. We will not walk away. We will not bow down. I will not bow down. In a literal sense, history is watching. History is watching. Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th, when insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat.
Don't that get you by the sack, don't it? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It is insane. Let me continue.
The U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood. America.
Who failed? Didn't the American people fail with this guy? You know, ain't that reality?
Mm-hmm.
This,
yep.
He's got to have, this can't be him. This has got to be a double. You know what I mean? And I don't know. We'll continue on.
Stood strong and democracy prevailed. We must be honest. The threat to democracy must be defended. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. I will not do that. This is a moment to speak the truth and to bury the lies. Here's the simple truth. You can't love your country only when you win. As I've done ever since being elected to office, I ask all of you without regard to party to join together and defend democracy. Remember your oath of office of defending us all threats, foreign and domestic. Respect free and fair elections. Restore trust in our institutions. And make clear political violence has absolutely no place. No place in America. Zero place. Again. It's not hyperbole to suggest history is watching. We're watching. Your children and grandchildren will read about this day and what we do. History is watching another assault on freedom. Joining us tonight is Latoya Beasley, a social worker from Birmingham, Alabama. 14 months ago, she and her husband welcomed a baby girl thanks to the miracle of IVF. She scheduled treatments to have that second child. The Alabama Supreme Court shut down IVF treatments across the state, unleashed by a Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. She was told her dream would have to wait. What her family had got through should never have happened unless Congress acts, it could happen again. So tonight, let's stand up for families like hers. To my friends across the aisle, don't keep this waiting any longer. Guarantee the right to IVF. Guarantee it nationwide. Like most Americans, I believe Roe v. Wade got it right. I thank Vice President Harris for being an incredible leader defending reproductive freedom and so much more. Thank you. My predecessor came to office determined to see Roe v. Wade overturned. He's the reason it was overturned, and he brags about it. Look at the chaos that has resulted. Joining us tonight is Kate Cox, a wife and mother from Dallas. She's become pregnant again and had a fetus of a fatal condition. Her doctor told Kate that her own life and her ability to have children in the future were at risk if she didn't act. Because Texas law banned her ability to act, Kate and her husband had to leave the state to get what she needed. What her family got through should have never happened as well, but it's happening in too many others. There are state laws banning the freedom to choose, criminalizing doctors, forcing survivors of rape and incest to leave their states to get the treatment they need. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look. It's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you're right about that. Clearly. Clearly, those bragging about overturning Roe v. Wade have no clue about the power of women. But they found out when reproductive freedom was on the ballot. We won in 2022 and 2020, and we'll win again in 2024. If you, the American people, send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again. Folks, America cannot go back. I'm here tonight to show what I believe is the way forward, because I know how far we've come. 4 years ago, next week, before I came to office, the country was hit by the worst pandemic and the worst economic crisis in a century. Remember the fear, record losses? Remember the spikes in crime and the murder rate, raging virus that took more than 1 million American lives of loved ones, millions left behind? A mental health crisis of isolation and loneliness. A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable. I came to office determined to get us through one of the toughest periods in the nation's history. We have. It doesn't make news in 1,000 cities and towns. The American people are writing the greatest comeback story never told. So let's tell the story here. Tell it here and now. America's comeback is building the future of American possibilities, building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down, investing in all America, in all Americans, to make every sure everyone has a fair shot. We leave no one behind. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what America does. That's what America does. Folks, my heritage economy is on the brink. Now our economy is literally the envy of the world. 15 million new jobs in just 3 years, a record. Unemployment at 50-year lows. A record 16 million Americans are starting small businesses, and each one is a literal act of hope. With historic job growth and small business growth for Black and Hispanics and Asian Americans, 800,000 new manufacturing jobs in America and counting. Where is it written we can't be the manufacturing capital of the world? We are. We will. More people have health insurance today. More people have health insurance today than ever before. The racial wealth gap is as small as it's been in 20 years. Wages keep going up. Inflation keeps coming down. Inflation has dropped from 9% to 3%, the lowest in the world, and tending lower. The landing is and will be soft. And now, instead of importing foreign products and exporting American jobs, we're exporting American products and creating American jobs. Right here in America, where they belong. And it takes time, but the American people are beginning to feel it. Consumer studies show consumer confidence is soaring. Buy America has been the law of the land since the 1930s. Past administrations, including my predecessor, including some Democrats as well in the past, failed to buy America. Not anymore. On my watch, federal projects that you fund, like helping build American roads, bridges, and highways, will be made with American products and built by American workers. Creating good-paying American jobs. And thanks to our CHIPS and Science Act, the United States is investing more in research and development than ever before. During the pandemic, a shortage of semiconductors, chips, that drove up the price of everything from cell phones to automobiles. And by the way, we invented those chips right here in America. Well, instead of having to import them, private companies are now investing billions of dollars to build new chip factories here in America, creating tens of thousands of jobs. Many of those jobs paying $100,000 a year and don't require a college degree. In fact, my policies have attracted $650 billion in private sector investment in clean energy, advanced manufacturing, creating tens of thousands of jobs here in America. And thanks to our bipartisan infrastructure law, 46,000 new projects have been announced all across your communities. And by the way, I noticed some of you have strongly voted against it, or they're cheering on that money coming in. I like it. I'm with you. If any of you don't want that money in your district, just let me know. Modernize our roads and bridges, ports and airports, public transit systems. Removing poisonous lead pipes so every child can drink clean water without risk of brain damage. Providing affordable high-speed internet for every American, no matter where you live, urban, suburban, or rural communities, in red states and blue states. Record investments in tribal communities. Because of my investment in a family farm. Because I invested in a family farm, led by my Secretary of Agriculture, who knows more about this than anybody I know. We're better able to stay in the family for those farms and their children and grandchildren won't have to leave home to make a living. It's transformative. A great comeback story is Belvidere, Illinois, home to an auto plant for nearly 60 years. Before I came to office, the plant was on its way to shutting down. Thousands of workers feared for their livelihoods. Hope was fading. Then I was elected to office and we raised the Belvidere repeatedly with auto companies, knowing unions would make all the difference. The UAW worked like hell to keep the plant open and get these jobs back, and together we succeeded. Instead of auto factories shutting down, auto factories reopening, a new state-of-the-art battery factory is being built to power those cars there at the same. Folks, the folks of Belvidere, I say, instead of your town being left behind, your community is moving forward again. Because instead of watching auto jobs in the future go overseas, 4,000 union jobs with higher wages are building the future in Belvidere right here in America. Here tonight is UAW President Sean Fain, a great friend and a great labor leader. Sean, where are you? Stand up. And Dawn Sims, a third generation worker, UAW worker at Belvidere. Sean, I was proud to be the first president to stand on the picket line. And today, Dawn has a good job in her hometown, providing stability for her family and pride and dignity as well. Showing once again, Wall Street didn't build America. They're not bad guys. They didn't build it, though. The middle class built the country, and unions built the middle class. I say to the American people, when America gets knocked down, we get back up. We keep going. That's America. That's you, the American people. It's because of you America's coming back. It's because of you our future is bright. It's because of you that tonight we can proudly say the state of our union is strong and getting stronger.
Yeah.
Tonight, I want to talk about the future of possibilities that we can build together. A future where the days of trickle-down economics are over and the wealthy and the biggest corporations no longer get all the tax breaks. And by the way, I understand corporations. I come from a state that has more corporations invested than every one of your states in the state of the United States combined. And I represented it for 36 years. I'm not anti-corporation, but I grew up in a home where trickle-down economics didn't put much on my dad's kitchen table. That's why I determined to turn things around so middle class does well. When they do well, the poor go way up and the wealthy still do very well. We all do well. And there's more to do to make sure you're feeling the benefits of all we're doing. Americans pay more for prescription drugs than anywhere in the world. It's wrong, and I'm ending it. For the law that I proposed and signed, not one of you Republican buddies voted for it. We finally beat Big Pharma. Instead of paying $400 a month or thereabouts for insulin with diabetes, and it only costs 10 bucks to make, they only get paid 35 a month now and still make a healthy profit. And I want to... But what to do next? I want to cap the cost of insulin $35 a month for every American who needs it. Everyone. For years, people have talked about it, but finally we got it done and gave Medicare the power to negotiate lower prices on prescription drugs, just like the VA is able to do for veterans. That's not just saving seniors money. It's saving taxpayers' money. We cut the federal deficit by $160 billion. Because Medicare will no longer have to pay those exorbitant prices to Big Pharma. This year, Medicare is negotiating lower prices for some of the costliest drugs on the market to treat everything from heart disease to arthritis. It's now time to go further and give Medicare the power to negotiate lower prices for 500 different drugs over the next decade. They're making a lot of money, guys. And they'll still be extremely profitable. We'll not only save lives, it will save taxpayers another $200 billion. Starting next year, the same law caps total prescription drug costs for seniors on Medicare at $2,000 a year. Even for expensive cancer drugs, it costs $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. I want to cap prescription drug costs at $2,000 a year for everyone. Folks, I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but anyone to get an Air Force One, and fly to Toronto, Berlin, Moscow, even Moscow, probably. And bring your prescription with you, and I promise you I'll get it for you for 40% the cost you're paying now. Same company, same drug, same place. Folks, the Affordable Care Act, the old Obamacare, it's still a very big deal. Over 100 million of you can no longer be denied health insurance because of pre-existing condition. But my predecessor, and many in this chamber, want to take this prescription drug away by repealing Affordable Care Act. I'm not going to let that happen. We stopped you 50 times before and we'll stop you again. In fact, I'm not only protecting it, I'm expanding it. The enacted tax credits of $800 per person per year reduce health care costs for millions of working families. That tax credit expires next year. I want to make that savings permanent. To state the obvious, women are more than half our population. But research on women's health has always been underfunded. That's why we're launching the first ever White House initiative on women's health research, led by Jill, doing an incredible job as First Lady. To pass my plan for $12 billion to transfer women's health research and benefit millions of lives all across America. I know the cost of housing is so important to you. If inflation keeps coming down, mortgage rates will come down as well, and the Fed acknowledges that. But I'm not waiting. I want to provide an annual tax credit that will give Americans $400 a month for the next 2 years as mortgage rates come down, to put toward their mortgages when they buy their first home or trade up for a little more space. Just for 2 years. And my administration is also eliminating title insurance on federally backed mortgages. When you refinance your home, you can save $1,000 or more as a consequence. For millions of renters, we're cracking down on big landlords who use antitrust law, who break antitrust laws by price fixing and driving up rents. We've cut red tape so builders can get federally financing, which is already helping build a record 1.7 million new housing units nationwide. Now pass and build and renovate 2 million affordable homes and bring those rents down. To remain the strongest economy in the world, we need to have the best education system in the world. And I, like I suspect all of you, want to give a child, every child, a good start by providing access to preschool for 3 and 4 years old. You know, I think I pointed out last year, that children coming from broken homes where there's no books, they're not read to, not spoken to very often, start school, kindergarten, or first grade, having heard a million fewer words spoken. Well, studies show that children who go to preschool are nearly 50% more likely to finish high school, go on to earn a 2- and 4-year degree, no matter what their background is. I met a year and a half ago with the leaders of the Business Roundtable. They were mad that they were angry. I said, well, they were discussing why I wanted to spend money on education. I pointed out to them, as vice president, I met with over 182 of those folks. Don't hold me the exact number. And I asked them what they need most, the CEOs. And you've had the same experience on both sides of the aisle. They say a better educated workforce, right? So I looked at them. And I say, I come from Delaware. DuPont used to be the 8th largest corporation in the world. And every new enterprise they bought, they educated the workforce to that enterprise. But none of you do that anymore. Why are you angry with me providing you the opportunity for the best educated workforce in the world? And they all looked at me and said, I think you're right. I want to expand high-quality tutoring and summer learning to see that every child learns to read by third grade. I'm also connecting local businesses and high schools so students get hands-on experience and a path to good-paying job, whether or not they go to college. And I want to make sure that college is more affordable. Let's continue increasing the Pell Grants to working and middle-class families and increase record investments in HBCUs, and minority-serving institutions, including Hispanic institutions. And I was told I couldn't universally just change the way in which we dealt with student loans. I fixed two student loan programs that already existed to reduce the burden of student debt for nearly 4 million Americans, including nurses.
Okay, I'm going to speed this up a little bit, okay, because I'm going to get to the point where he says, because, you know, this everything now, you know, he's on some good dope and talking a lot of stupid shit. So, but anyway, I want to get to that point, so just bear with me on this, and we're going to skip through a little bit.
Firefighters and others in public service. Has taken a greater toll on innocent civilians than all previous wars in Gaza combined. More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas. Thousands and thousands of innocents, women and children, girls and boys, also orphaned. Nearly 2 million more Palestinians under bombardment or displacement. Homes destroyed, neighborhoods in rubble, cities in ruin. Families without food, water, medicine. It's heartbreaking. I've been working nonstop to establish an immediate ceasefire that would last for 6 weeks to get all the prisoners released, all the hostages released, to get the hostages home and ease the intolerable and humanitarian crisis and build toward an enduring, something more enduring. The United States has been leading international efforts to get more humanitarian assistance to Gaza. Tonight, I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the coast of Gaza that can receive large shipments carrying food, water, medicine, and temporary shelters. No U.S. boots will be on the ground. A temporary pier will enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day. And Israel must do its part. Israel must allow more aid into Gaza to ensure humanitarian workers aren't caught in the crossfire. They're announcing they're going to have a crossing in northern Gaza. For the leadership of Israel, I say this. Humanitarian assistance cannot be a secondary consideration or a bargaining chip. Protecting and saving innocent lives has to be a priority. As we look to the future, the only real solution to the situation is a two-state solution over time.
All right. Well, anyway, I think I've punished you people enough. Listen to that bullshit. Oh, revenge is so sweet, isn't it?
Yes, you have.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.
Yes, you have.
Hey, Mikey, what's up, man? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Listen, lie after lie after lie after lie. Fuck them.
Connor didn't like the motherfucker. Everything he said was kind of, he was just politicking. That's all he's doing, just politicking. God damn it, that's all he's doing. He's trying to sell fucking, he wants votes, man. That's what it sounds, exactly what it sounds like. That's not a state of the fucking union. He's talking about all the good things. Ain't talking about things that need to be fixed. Well, like I can't find the part. I mean, I should have pre-did it. But anyway, he stated tonight at the so-called State of the Union that he's going to fix the wall and control the fucking the immigrants, okay? Well, you started this. You know, you motherfucker, you started this. What are you talking about? You're going to fix. You fucked it up. You know?
Then you started it.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe that. I just sit there and listen. What did he just fucking say? Yeah, so, you know, fix the border wall.
But it's right in the state of fucking Texas
from trying to stop it for you. It's some fucking psychotic bullshit, too.
Ryan, when he goes off and he says there's going to be no boots on the ground in Gaza.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you know there will be. There will be. There probably already is.
And they want to get, here's the deal, they want to get this done before the election.
Well, they're doing all this to make it sound happy. Right. He's just trying to sell himself as Mr. Fucking Perfect, and he's not. He contradicts talking about. The economy's doing good. Where the fuck is that? When I see prices change tonight, that tells me the economy what it's doing. I believe ain't the prices of things in the real world part of the fucking actual blood of the economy? Money.
Yep.
Cost of shit. Money. Cost of everything, you know, to get there, to manufacture, package. No, then he's gonna block from putting those junk fucking bills in your thing. You know, this for that. Like this propane company I had to deal with sent me a $3.50 processing fee for the paper, for them sending me the fucking letter. Ain't that funny?
Yeah.
I mean, they charged me that.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't want to say it's not their fault. They got to make money. I mean,
why would you charge your customer for fucking invoice? You know what I mean? You're already fucking enough on, you're fucking people left and right. People like me catch on to that shit. You're charging me $3.50 for a fucking invoice? You know, no. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. You sent it to me. I didn't request that. You know, there's no terms and conditions I'm applied by this. I did not agree to shit. You know, mm-hmm. if you think you could throw it up there, you're under your fucking control. That ain't going to happen with me either. And I said, if you don't pick this goddamn propane thing up and pay for the propane that's in it, you're going to have to pay me for the propane, bitch. They didn't take the fucking tank. I don't give a fuck about it. I don't need it. You know, I put that fucker in here for my folks, but it was in my dad's name. Then I got transferred my name after he died, but, you know, that don't fucking matter. The simple fact remains the same. Is you want to jack me and fuck me over, and that ain't going to happen. They're already charging me $175 a year just for rent to have a tank here. See what I mean? Wouldn't it be better to supply a tank to your customers, you know, free of charge and be able to sell the fucking product to them? But no, you're going to charge them extra money for this, extra money for that, and all this and that. Well, fuck. The funny thing about propane, they're not the only motherfuckers in the game. You know what I mean? They're not. They're not the only motherfuckers in the game. So that's how I could, you know, I can compete with it. But that's what, like, Biden's doing. You know, he's going to stop these junk fees. Why does that matter? We got much bigger problems than that he don't seem to fucking focus on. You know, this was a straight-up fucking, it was not a State of the Union, man. It was a political fucking, you know, fucking rally. Vote for me, you know.
And then, what's her name? And then they want to throw what's her name. If this was a political rally, fine. Then don't try and throw Marjorie Taylor Greene out when she puts a MAGA hat on.
Right.
That they tried to do that. The guy in the house. What's the title of the guy? The fucker in the house that he says, well, you can't wear that. Well, if you're going to fight, she goes, if you're going to find me, find me. If you're going to take me out. But I ain't taking this hat off. You know? She knew exactly what this was.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on the Republican side knew exactly what this was. This is a political rally. This is the only time when he's going to have, this would be the only time when he would have somebody, captive audience of any size in any type of a building. Because everybody knows.
Right, and it's televised. It's free advertising. Rally. It's free fucking advertising, man. You know what I mean? And that's what he was doing. He was selling himself.
Everybody knows Trump's going to start doing his rallies again, right? And when he does a rally, he's going to have 50,000, 60,000, 70,000 people. And when Biden tries to do rallies, what does he do? Maybe 500, if that, if 100, you know? He's not going to be able to, fill up like Superdome or or Reunion
right.
Arena or whatever
right.
the hell the big any number of those theaters in Branson, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, the thing is this is strictly campaigning. That's all it was
yep.
tonight. This was campaigning. He had a fucking trapped audience. And you notice a lot of the other fucking people sitting like in the suits in that fucker weren't getting up clapping, you know, this shit. And some guy said something. They had to fucking escort him out. Hang on, I'm going to try to play a little bit more of this. Let's try to finish. It's at the end of it. So let me play the end of this motherfucker.
You know, I don't know if you noticed this or not. But I haven't seen so many Democrats in white since they founded the KKK.
Nice.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I never thought of that, but yeah, you're right, Boyd. Yeah. Yeah, what's the white part? What the fuck does that mean? You know? But anyway,
it's
let's
abortion.
Play last. This. It's up for abortion, is that what it's for?
Yeah.
Ted? Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, they had to escort some guy out. I think he's saying liar, calling him a fucking
Cat?
Liar or something. Yeah,
is that Cat?
Yeah, I mean.
Hi,
you know.
Boy. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Cat.
Hey, Ron, the guy that yelled out, he was the father of one of the soldiers that were killed when we got out of Afghanistan. And
oh,
he
yeah?
yelled out. Something about the Marines, and then he yelled Abbey Gate, where they were killed. And, yeah, he was arrested. They got him out there and arrested him.
Yeah.
Hey, Boyd. Yo, so-and-so,
hey
there. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
So-and-so. God damn. That thing, last time I heard that term was on a...
What?
A gay movie. It was a gay movie. With Robin Williams. The Birdcage. How you doing, you so-and-so? And how you doing, you old bastard? And shit like that. Okay. Well, hey, Kat. Well, yeah. This has been funny. Oh, well, there's... You know, your buddy Mike and Boyd and Gunslinger me and Rob is in the chat. He's not in online. He don't like to talk to us much. He's a smarter man. You know. Nobody ever comes to my shows. They just don't come to them.
And if you notice,
too powerful.
See,
they can't handle the power of it all. They can't handle the fucking power of me. Yeah, that's what's wrong.
If you notice, he did not mention that little nurse that got murdered by that illegal.
Yes, he did.
Over there in Georgia.
Biden did?
Biden
yeah.
did not.
He
no,
did.
He didn't.
Yes, he did. I listened to the whole thing.
Oh, he did? I didn't hear. I
yeah.
didn't hear it from what I listened to. Go ahead.
He did say her name after Marjorie Taylor Greene made him.
Yeah, but he missed, her name is Larkin Riley, and he called her Lincoln Riley. That guy was jacked up, man. They had
well, like
cocaine and Adderall. And
right.
Yeah,
Boyd said that at the beginning of this. That motherfucker, you want something what he's got. Yeah, I want some, too. I want to know what
those
the fuck
pupils,
he took.
Those pupils were bigger than his irises.
They look like two black dots. He reminds
yeah.
me of Walter, the puppet Walter.
Oh, yeah.
He looks just like that motherfucker.
He does, but Walter's more lifelike. This guy, there's a reason why they had to take 2 intermissions in this damn thing. All right? That's what they said. They took 2 intermissions. So, this guy, yeah.
They didn't take
yes.
any intermissions. When did they take an intermission?
That's what they. That's what I heard before the speech. Before the speech, I heard they were going to take a couple of intermissions, and everybody was going, well, everybody knows because he doesn't have the stamina.
Okay, but you didn't watch the speech then. You didn't take any intermission.
Well.
Well, you know, it's going to be scrambled. Information is going to be scrambled anyway. You don't know what the fuck is going to get said about anything right now. You know.
Right.
But, you know, wait till tomorrow. You'll see show up bucket in it, all 10,000 things. But he, like I said, he was just strictly campaigning. This was not a state of the union. This had, you know, he wasn't mentioning nothing about technically how much money we're fucked and how much we're putting out. He says, this is what I'm going to do. This is what we need to do. And that's that. That's it. And it's kind of a softer fucking manner.
I knew this was going to happen because he's basically, Obama wants him gone. They want him gone. And he said, he gave him the fucking finger and said, fuck you, I'm running. And this was his first speech. Everybody hates him, you know, including the people on his side.
I get that.
Oh, God.
Go back to the question again. How the fuck did he win in the first place against Trump? That just don't make no sense. You know, Trump is doing such a great job. Why would you want to get rid of the guy doing a good job? That just don't make no fucking sense. Then he brought up January 6th and all this shit. You know what I mean? Well, that he's making it like a big, terrible tragedy. And no, it wasn't. No, it was not. You know, the most terrible tragedy, that woman getting shot by that motherfucker. You know, the cops weren't stopping them fuckers from walking in there at every right to walk in that building. It's just all bullshit.
They own it.
Yeah, they own it.
They own it.
Nancy Pelosi was responsible for it, so there you go. She was there at that fucking this goddamn State of Unity, that crazy bitch.
The Capitol was locked down
and
the doors were open, unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
Different right. plans for January 6th. There was the plan that we saw, and then there was this bomb plot with the RNC and the DNC. All right, and everybody knows that the bombs were basically training bombs or whatever, but they made a big deal. They didn't want to make a big deal of that because that. The other thing was kind of successful, right? But she was in Kamala Harris on the most important day of her life was in the DNC building where when there was supposed to have been a bomb outside under a fucking bench. All right? Now, you tell me what I'm supposed to think about that, you know?
Well, I don't know. There's a bomb threat, and she's still sticking around. I guess she, you know, either she knows about it, she's involved with it, you know what I mean, or something that was bullshit.
It's bullshit. Mm-hmm. They can't get pictures. They don't have pictures of. They say they don't have pictures of the person who planted the so-called bomb, even though around mm-hmm. that DNC. Cameras all over the place. All right, they can't get a clear picture of the guy's face, person's face. They can make a big deal of you know these guys. You got the Secret Service there. You got the Capitol Hill police there, and all this shit. I mean, that whole situation was bullshit in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's like the other question is that cocaine was in the White House. Never heard a word about that yet, have we? They couldn't figure out who fucking had it. How the fuck could that be? How would they not know? Ain't the cameras all over that motherfucking place? How'd that get through?
And one of the question of exactly whose cocaine it is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just assumes that at some point, Hunter was there and it's his cocaine. Yeah. We know that at times they have to give Biden something to keep him awake, right?
Right. You think that's what it is?
So, I think
that's what he's on tonight, cocaine, all fucking amped out.
Yep.
Oh, God. I don't know. He was full injury, but you're saying intermissions. I didn't see no intermissions either, but now you might be talking about beginning and end, but not during the bullshit.
That's what they said, because they were assuming that he's not going to be able to make it through, because
they're just estimating. We've seen
some of these debates between him and Trump, you know, where about halfway through the debate, he's about ready to go to sleep.
Well,
you know?
Like I said, they're saying there ain't going to be no debate with Trump and him. You know, Trump wants it. Bring it, motherfucker. You know, and that, you know, really, I'd love to see it. You know, I said last night on my show, I said, that'll be fucking elder abuse, fucking Trump will tear that motherfucker apart. You know?
Yeah. They go, Trump is too old.
Yeah.
They go, Trump is too old.
Yeah.
He's selling people.
Yeah.
He's too old.
Yep.
Well,
hey, Rob,
as
you joined us.
Hello.
What's the difference?
I felt the power.
Did you feel the power, son?
I felt the power. I thought I'd come on in. I want to feel it more. I need something more than what I heard tonight.
I hope we're anointing you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what I witnessed tonight, I need a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you think about the State of the Union? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
that was a campaign. And him just bragging on Trump the whole night was just like, oh, my God, it's all you got?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Straight out the
street. And raises his voice and says, lies, God damn it.
I know. It's just so wrong.
Mm-hmm. Don't say his name, his predecessor.
Right.
You know, my predecessor. He fucked it all up, you know, and I'll fix that wall. My heart stopped. My heart just stopped. What did that motherfucker just say? So I had to back it up and listen again. I'll fix the wall. You're the fucking reason it's fucked up anyway. You know, come on, man. Where are you going with this, Joey? It's your fucking fault.
Hey,
everybody
wait,
knows.
Wait. He said fix the wall, right? Wait,
yeah.
You're the goddamn one that welded the gates open over there in Arizona.
Yeah. So there you go, man. Yeah.
You know, I like Johnson back there, his reactions.
Well, he but he's trying to. Even if he does fix, I don't know what to say about it. But how? Why would you fix something you fucked up on purpose? You know what I mean? But you're trying to make yourself look good. He's trying to make himself look good. Let's campaign. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Better education, better health care, no taxes. Same old shit. Same old fucking bullshit all the fucking time. I won't come in your mouth and a fucking check is in the mail. That's that. Play a fucking check.
Well, I like Speaker Johnson's reaction behind him. He gave him a couple of golf claps, but a lot of the look was disgust in his face. I was like laughing. Because you could tell going, what bullshit.
Well.
And you know what that guy was hollering way up there in the top? Did anyone catch that? The guy that started heckling?
Yeah, Kat was just telling us he got arrested.
He gave himself up.
Right, yeah, he didn't win no fight, you know.
Right.
But that guy, he was a gold star guy. Afghanistan.
Kat.
I didn't know
Kat. You guys didn't hear Kat explain that?
Yep. And then what they want this guy to step aside. He's not going to do it. They want him to step aside, and they would like probably to try and substitute fucking what's your governor there in California.
What about him?
Oh, they're still threatening with Michelle Obama too, though. Ain't that something?
No, I don't buy that. Because Michelle Obama is a very private person. She didn't want to be there in the first place as the first lady. You know.
True.
You know, so she's
he,
not.
He didn't want to be.
He didn't. Yeah. There's been rumors about Obama being the first gay president. Look who he's married to, supposedly.
Gunslinger is also quiet. What's his problem?
He lives in Texas. I'm trying to find that clip.
And by the way, Kat, the Bush Rove Hunter took it on the chin in Texas. A lot of the people that Trump and Ken Paxton supported won their elections. You know, there's going to be change. It looks like there's going to be one the ability to go on to possibly try to change the freaking state legislature and make it a true Republican legislature. And we all know why that is because they tried to go after Ken Paxton. Yeah, he may be crooked and all that stuff, but he didn't deserve what they tried to do to him.
So I live here and you're telling me this. Why are you telling me this?
Yeah, it's just a big deal for me anyway. Excuse my coughing, lady and gentlemen. I'm trying to get over something that I just recently had. Hopefully this isn't due to me taking the fucking shot. This call.
It's called Bidenomics call.
Yep. Actually, this is the third term of Obama.
Oh, it's worse than that. This is straight up fucking insane.
Yep.
You know, one thing he said tonight, we're going to be establishing the support port in Gaza to take humanitarian aid over there. And we're supposedly, he said, not one of our boots will be on the ground in Gaza. You know, that's just cover. And, I mean, what's going to happen, I fear, is that they're going to end up bringing a lot of those people here. Those are some nasty people. Let me tell you, the Egyptians don't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. Everywhere they go, they cause trouble.
Is Corinne Nicole, who was during the administration's Boston withdrawal from Afghanistan. Nicole was the guest of GOP Florida Representative Brian Mack.
Okay, somebody's pouring with television.
2nd Battalion, 1st Marine.
All right, who's doing the – making all the noise. Hey, man.
That's me. I'm watching this on the guy getting arrested.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Who? Okay.
There you go. Is that which guy? Which guy was that, Boyd?
The father.
The Gold Star father.
Oh, the Gold Star father. Okay. Yeah. They don't like being called out on their shit. The whole thing about, you know, that was the whole withdrawal from Afghanistan was a clusterfuck, you know, and it was meant to be that.
I've seen better clusterfucks. Let's put it that way. I think that Afghan withdrawal gives clusterfuck a bad name.
Yeah, probably does. Yeah. Oh, and he brought back fucking Obamacare in that speech. I mean, it's like, why are you bringing back a damn failure?
It wasn't a failure.
That is
Obamacare
like,
gave tons of money to the insurance companies. That's what it was meant to do. Obamacare was very successful for the insurance companies.
All this stuff that they're putting Trump through is basically a masturbatory fantasy for these people. I mean, and now it looks like our friend, but Elon Musk is gonna maybe fund Trump some.
Mike, where do you get this shit from? Elon Musk has openly said he's supporting neither party.
What was that?
Hey, Ron.
I saw a tweet from Musk, and he said he's not giving either side any money.
No.
Right. No, he ain't getting involved with none of that bullshit. Smart man.
Yep.
I mean, fuck. I wouldn't want nothing to do with that bullshit. None of it. That affects your business.
Yeah, the left side is up a creek without a paddle with him because he's trying to make Twitter. He bought a crime scene. He bought Twitter, all right, and he wanted to make it more of a free speech platform. And the left don't like that. They want the ability to, you know, censor people and shit. But they up a creek without a paddle with him because he's on the way probably to taking us back to the moon. You know, he's probably going to get us there at some point. It's Elon Musk, you know. So, and he's got all. They try to hate on him, but he's got all these contracts with these people to get satellites the government contracts to get satellites and rocket technology and all that stuff, you know, and stuff like that. And they want those contracts, and it's like they can't say too much bad about Elon Musk.
Well, how are they going to get you in? How are they going to get you in and ship through all those satellites up there?
You put them with when he launches those spaceships on the SpaceX spacecraft. Probably he has. I mean, I know he's putting his Starlink up there. Well, his internet satellites. So I'm saying, you know, they go to him and say, hey, we want to put this X satellite up there, this you know, ABC satellite up there for us, maybe a spy satellite. And he goes, yeah, okay, I'll do it, you know. Take it down to Florida, put it on take it over to Houston or take it over to Florida, Cape Canaveral, and I'll launch it, you know.
He doesn't launch anything from Houston. They launch from Brownsville, down near the border.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, I found that section of that clip on the State of the Union. I'm talking about the Pence. I'm going to play this real quick, kids, so check this out. Maybe.
And if my predecessor is watching, instead of paying politics and pressuring members of Congress to block the bill, join me in telling the Congress to pass it. We can do it together. But that's what he apparently hears, what he will not do. I will not demonize immigrants saying they are poison in the blood of our country. I will not separate families. I will not ban people because of their faith. Unlike my predecessor, on my first day in office, I introduced a comprehensive bill to fix our immigration system. Take a look at it, as all these and more. Secure the border. Provide a pathway to citizenship for dreamers. And so much more. But unlike my predecessor, I know who we are as Americans. We're the only nation in the world with a heart and soul that draws from old and new. Home to Native Americans and ancestors have been here for thousands of years. Home to people of every place, from every place on earth. They came freely. Some came in chains. Some came when famine struck, like my ancestral family in Ireland. Some to flee persecution, to chase dreams that are impossible anywhere but here in America. That's America. And we all come from somewhere. But we're all Americans. Look, folks, we have a simple choice. We can fight about fixing the border, or we can fix it.
There you go.
I'm ready to fix it.
There you go.
Send me the border
Buck
bill
it up
now.
And now go to fix it.
Liar, liar, pencil and fire.
That's the part I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
If he wants, he wouldn't be down there. They wouldn't be down there in Texas trying to pull down a goddamn razor wire.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry,
that's the, you know. Ain't that crazy? That's the crazy shit I've ever heard.
That is.
You fuck it all up, but you're gonna fix it. You know. Well, if you didn't fuck it up, you wouldn't need to fix it, now would you? You're a money waster.
No, would you?
Yeah, you're wasting money. Yeah, there was nothing wrong in the beginning. You came and fucked it all up. You know, send me the bill. I'll sign it. Yeah, well, fuck it, man.
Trump had it all ready to go. Yeah, he already had it under construction. All he had to do was continue it. How simple is that? Well, too simple for him, I guess.
Keep on going. Keep with the programs that were in place that were working. And not fuck with it.
Yeah.
But nope.
Not fuck with it.
Executive order. Kick that fucker wide open. Just wide open.
You know
what he did.
There's a famous saying by a somewhat famous Democrat by the name of Rahm Emanuel. Never let a crisis go to waste.
Right.
And I'm going to add to that. Never let a crisis go to waste, even if you have to create one to have one.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. That's well been documented.
This is a created crisis. This is a created crisis.
Well,
they've always done that. They've always created a crisis. We're making profit from it. And it's always they've always done that.
Yeah, this ain't nothing new.
Yeah, they
do. Absolutely.
Hey, I have another quote from the great Rodney King when he says, "Why can't we all get along?"
Yeah. Imagine that. Why would we go do something that fucking retarded? Holy Jesus Christ. I know we're fucking dumb. We ain't that fucking far off, are we? Maybe we are, really, in reality.
All politicians are retards. It's just to the extent that they are.
Yeah.
So what?
Ain't no doubt about it.
Well, you vote the best retard in there.
Well,
the fact of the matter is, Ryan, they are retards, but they don't know that you're the king of the retards.
That's right. It should come to me for guidance. Well, we wouldn't have a problem with the fucking wall if you stayed the same. That'd be the first thing I'd tell them, you know, as a federal retardian, you know. Don't be fucking with the oil lines either. Leave the fucking fuel cheap. Don't sell Chinese none of it.
You know something, Ryan, though? Joe Biden looks like he's in dire need of Ron Rex Cream and Go.
He does. Absolutely. The presidential pack.
He's in dire need of he's in dire need of Roto Rooter. No doubt. He's a fool of
it. Little fucker, he farts of sawdust coming out.
Dinosaur.
If him and Nancy would rub each other, they'd catch on fire.
Where that whole speech came from, that whole so-called State of the Union speech, all he did was reach into his goddamn diaper and pick a bunch of crap out of it and throw it on paper.
Yeah, that's what we did.
No, that was strictly campaigning. He talked about too much shit that's all fucked up, and he's saying it's great. That's campaigning. I don't think it was. I really don't believe his speech. I believe he's actually campaigning.
That was a cap audience.
Yeah, I mean
that was a.
You're sitting there bashing
the
president.
Fool.
You know, you're bashing him.
Yeah,
why? What's that got to do with the State of the Union?
What are you doing? He's plagiarizing Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if that's not a cure case of plagiarizing, I don't know what the hell is.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to do it because he thinks he's going to win in November, which he ain't got a snowball chance of hell in winning.
If that motherfucker does win, there's something really fucking wrong.
Oh,
you
shit.
You know what I mean?
Man, you talk about the shit's going to hit the fan, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
It should hit the fan. I hope it does hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, some penetrating shit, too, let me tell you. Full-blown
diarrhea. They say that military recruiting is down, and so is police recruiting are way down.
I wonder why.
People are getting smart. They don't want nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying?
They hate him.
They love Trump. Military loves Trump. Law enforcement loves Trump. But they hate him. So I quit, too. Fuck them son.
I mean, he's cut their budgets. They can't hire nobody. Nobody wants to work for Trump money. Get yourself killed by some fucking lunatic they designed. They imported in here to kill me. Fuck that, you know?
Did you see
that fan is so powered in Antarctica.
There was a speech given by Patricia James,
in front of the FDNY, New York Fire Department, which are all liberal people, but that's not the point. The point is, not only did she get booed by the FDNY, they started chanting Trump at her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And they were drowning her. They were kind of drowning her out. You had to try to shout them down because you could hear her, and we didn't want to hear her, but that's not the point. The point is, these people are liberal people, all liberal people in that FDNY, and they hate her.
Right. They do. That's true. But, hey,
well,
guys, we're about, out of time. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, I was surprised up in the balcony you didn't have Fannie Willis up there. Praying her.
Is that what? Yeah, right.
Fannie Willis
right.
At one picture.
Yep.
Big fan.
Fucking nuts, man. It's going to get crazier.
Yep.
24 is going to be a motherfucker of a year. I guarantee that. It's going to be nuts.
Yep. Yep.
What they're trying to do with that judge in that case with Fannie Willis, they're trying to intimidate him into ruling for Fannie Willis by saying, okay, if you're going to rule against her and try to throw her off this case, we're going to run somebody against you. And this is a Jesse Jackson person, but
Fannie, she's fucked anyway. She's so fucked it don't matter. That's true.
She is fucked.
So, mm-hmm.
She's been fucked since 2019 or 2021 or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, well, since day one. But listen, guys, I'm out of time. I got to get out of here because I got to work in the morning real early, real fucking early. Ugh, got to race the weather.
You got to work?
Yes,
come
I
on.
Do. I got to race the weather, man. Fucking sucks, but got to do it. I'm an open trailer.
I guess we'll see you tomorrow night on Robert's show, maybe, Ron.
Yeah, I'll probably pop over there. I mean, if this run don't long, I'll do one myself. Either way, but all right, guys. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming out and hanging out with me tonight. I appreciate every one of you. But I'm going to flip out of here and throw up this song, and I will see you guys later. So behave yourself and don't take no wooden nickels and watch out for Democrats and illegals. You'll be all right. See y'all.
And splinters.